In considering difficult subjects, the question is asked, why do some people engage in evil actions? How does a person go from thinking about murder to actually taking someone's life? In this lesson, Jim Lloyd looks at what the Bible says about Satan, his mission, and your power to resist and overcome temptation.
Human beings are capable of doing some very evil things. Unfortunately, lying, cheating, stealing are normal daily activities for some people. But far worse, there's someone somewhere committing murder, rape, child abuse, and worse every single day. Why do people do these things? And how does someone go from thinking about it to actually taking another person's life, harming a child, or whatever the unimaginable deed might be? Psychiatrists and psychologists have been studying human behavior and trying to answer the question why for a long time. But because many of them eliminate God and they eliminate objective morality from the picture, all they're left with is chemistry. So they say there might be something chemically wrong with those people. But what if there's something else going on? What if there's more to it? What if something or someone is secretly working against humanity and working against you and trying to sabotage everything that's good in your life? You know, the Bible tells us that is exactly what's going on. Satan, who is also called the devil or the evil one, is going to be the focus of this lesson. And while the information provided in the Bible about him is limited, the Bible does give us some very valuable information that you cannot learn by mere observation. Because no one's taken a picture of Satan, have they? No one has a video of him running around town dressed in some red outfit, pitchfork, horns. But the damage that he leaves in his wake can be clearly seen, and we would be foolish to ignore this enemy, even though we can't see him. In fact, I think most people wake up in the morning and don't even give it a single thought that there's an enemy out there seeking to do harm in our lives, seeking to ruin our families, working very hard to prevent us from knowing the truth, and working overtime to either get us to dismiss God or to hate him. Satan is not a mythological creature, invented by the Greeks, as some people have claimed. He is not the result of legend. He's not the result of fairy tale. In fact, the Bible issues a serious alert as it warns us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All you have to do is look around you. Humanity is horribly lost right now. People are not happy. You see surveys come out and life is not good. People will tell you that. And it's never going to get better for anyone who ignores the real problem here. Evil is real and it's everywhere. Pain is real and it's everywhere. Suffering, death, it's everywhere, and man does not have the answer. But the Bible does. And so many pitfalls in life can be avoided if we would just listen to what God has said in his word, and in this case, what he has said about Satan. Here's what I want to do in this brief lesson. First, I want to share with you what the Bible says about Satan's origin. And then I want to tell you about Satan's mission, his desire to destroy your life, your soul. And then finally, I want you to know that you have the power to resist him. Let's dig right in. Where did Satan come from? It's a common question. The opening chapters of the Bible introduce us to a serpent that is described as cunning or crafty. We aren't told where the serpent came from, but it quickly becomes obvious that this serpent is not part of the creation that God just described as being very good. And as this serpent tempts Eve to take part of the fruit of a tree that God said, "I don't even want you touching this tree," it becomes clear that this serpent is an enemy of God and does not have Eve's best interest in mind. Now, the Bible will later fill us in on the fact that this enemy of God goes by several different names, different descriptions. The Bible says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer, and the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, you might be thinking right now, what is going on here? War broke out in heaven? What's going on? How is that even possible that there would be war in heaven? And unfortunately, we don't know the background information on exactly what happened. But we do have several references in the Bible to an event where a group of heaven's angels decided to rebel against God. The Bible says God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Then the Bible also, seeming to refer to this same event, says this: the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, he, that's God, has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So while we do our best to avoid speculating, we don't want to say too much when the Bible is silent, but we have been able to gather from what's been given to us that there were a group of angels that turned from good to bad. And they were not allowed to stay in heaven with God any longer. Now, Jesus comes along, and Jesus uses the phrase, "the devil and his angels." That's a phrase that certainly leads us to think the devil was an angel himself, and that perhaps he was the leader of this band of angels that revolted. Again, people say, well, what happened? Did Satan want more power? Was he jealous of God? Maybe he was jealous that God created man. All good questions, but we don't know. We simply don't know the answer to why there was this insurrection. But one thing we do know is that the Bible tells us Satan is not divine. That means he's not God. He's not equal to God, not in any way. And I think this will become more clear as we move on and learn about how Satan works in this world. Satan's mission, his desire, is to destroy your life and your soul. In fact, the Bible even calls him the destroyer. Jesus calls him a murderer. Jesus calls him a liar, and much more, because Satan wants to take away your quality of life. He wants to rob you of peace and joy. He wants you discontent. He wants you angry. He wants you unsatisfied with God. And he will do whatever it takes to pull you away from God. I should add here that his efforts, they've been quite successful over the centuries. In fact, he's been so successful that even Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. The Bible describes him as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The Bible says the whole world lies under the power or in the power of the wicked one. Now, we really don't know why Satan has made it his mission to attack humanity. But some have suggested that Satan's real target here is God. You and I aren't so important. He doesn't care about us. We're just pawns in this war against God. And Satan knows that human beings were created in God's image, that we were the pinnacle of creation. We're even described in the Bible as the apple of God's eye and as a special treasure to God. So maybe Satan tries to hurt God by attacking God's creation. Perhaps it's like someone who wants to hurt me, but they can't hurt me. They can hurt my children, and so they do that, and as you might imagine, that would hurt me even worse. Satan's mission is to alienate us from God through sin. If he can get us to sin and act contrary to God, then we will face the same fate he will, eternal separation from God. And so Satan relentlessly attacks us. And he attacks us, and he attacks us, and God allows it. But this is where the Bible answers some of our questions. And for time's sake, I'm going to summarize a few things here. First, I want to say the Bible tells us we were created with free will. That is, you have the ability to choose how you conduct yourself in this life. You're not a robot. The Bible also tells us that we are responsible to God for our actions. That means our choices, they have consequences. And the reason God can hold us accountable for our choices is because we have free will. And Satan cannot override that free will. He can't make you do anything. Not even God overrides your free will. The Bible says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Satan is the tempter. He baits the trap. And deception is his expertise. But he cannot overpower our will. We are in full control of our choices, and we are accountable to God for choosing right over wrong. But I can't overemphasize that Satan is powerful. His devices, his tricks have been proven. They've been destroying people's lives since the beginning of the world. Here's how he works. First, he's incredibly observant, and he's watching you very closely. He sees what gets your attention. He sees where maybe you're weak or where you struggle. And then he looks for opportunities to tempt and deceive. And don't think it's always about murder, rape, adultery, stealing. He may observe that you're not tempted by those things. Satan may see that you enjoy the praise of men. So he finds a way to build you up, fill your heart with pride. Remember, he does not have to get you to murder. He only needs you to hate. He doesn't have to get you to steal. He only needs you to covet, which means to want something that's not yours. He doesn't have to get you to put other people down. He only needs you to think more highly of yourself than you should. Any sin will do just fine, as far as Satan is concerned. It may not be doing some horrible deed in your mind. It may be a failure to do something good, something kind for your neighbor or for someone in need. And comfort, complacency, these have become very effective tools that Satan has used to separate people from God. As I already said, Satan is smart. He's a powerful enemy. In fact, the Bible tells us Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Do not underestimate an enemy like this. You can't defeat him on your own. You need God. Listen to what the Bible says. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The strength and wily nature, the trickiness of Satan is such that we must rely on God. On God's strength, God's power, God's armor to be successful in our efforts to stand against Satan. His work in this world is to get you to think sin is no big deal. He works very hard to dilute the truth and to blind you to the way things really work in God's world. In fact, I would even say that Satan has invested so much time over the centuries creating an environment of evil on this earth that he personally doesn't even have to tempt or attack you. He can use a neighbor. He can use a coworker. Just about anyone can be used to work on his behalf and tell you, sin isn't that bad. Give it a try. He can use someone you consider to be a friend, a companion, to corrupt your morals. He can use an entire society or an education system to lie to you, to tell you that false things are true or bad things are good. And that's why a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of God's word, is critical. If you're going to combat an enemy that spends his time in lying to you and deceiving you. Now, finally, I want to really drive home the point that you have the power to resist the devil. The Bible tells us about a man named Job, who Satan attacked and tempted in the worst of ways. And one of the many things we learn from that account is that Satan had to ask God for permission to attack Job. Now, the point I'm making here is that Satan asked God first, and then God set the parameters. You see, Satan's not God's equal. Satan is not free to do whatever he wishes. Satan must still operate in God's world and within God's boundaries. Much like Satan's request to test Job's faith, Jesus said to the Apostle Peter, "Indeed, Satan has asked to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Something else we learn from Job's story is that God will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond what we can handle. Listen to what the Bible says. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." The Bible also says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And perhaps, to me, the most empowering Bible verse of them all is this one. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's true, we should never underestimate Satan's crafty schemes, but neither should we forget that it is within our power, our ability, to resist him. And it starts by being alert. This is where it starts. We must be alert. We must be watchful. It takes a sober vigilance, an effort to be aware that you have an enemy and to know how he works. And then we need to know the Bible's instructions to spiritually dress ourselves in the proper battle attire. We mentioned it already, the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And finally, if you're a Christian, you need to know you have God on your side. You have Jesus Christ as your advocate. He's the one who stands by you, protects you, and refuses to forsake you. Let's put this all together with something written in the Bible that talks about a group of Christians who were a great example of what it looks like when you strive diligently to be faithful to God. The Bible says, "For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But yet I want you to be wise as to what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." These Christians, because of their constant choosing to resist Satan and to obey God, were on their way to being wise in the subject of goodness and simple, uneducated, inexperienced in the subject of evil. The resistance of these Christians in response to Satan's trickery, the Bible says, was a crushing blow to his efforts. My friends, Satan is the author of sin, sickness, suffering, and even death. But we do not have to give in to the enemy who seeks to harm us, because if we read God's word, we will not be ignorant of his devices. I'll leave you with some advice from Jesus himself. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation."